Dion. Gina just couldn't believe the boy was coming at her with the dumbass shit.
Damn,
she thought.
No one knew about that one. That was different. And I didn't care about him. And I didn't do anything with him. I never cheat,
said Gina. If you didn't care about him, then why'd you take his money?
He was throwing it at me.
Damn, I wish a motherfucker would just throw money at me, said Kwa, making a funny face.
How do you know about him?
Aha, don't you want to know? I don't think so, baby doll. Gina, headstrong, refused to be caught and continued sticking to a story she thought she had sewn up.
Well, at the time, Jamal wasn't spending any time with me, but I never cheated on him,
she said, as if there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. How could the man spend time with you if he was busy making money to keep you happy? Meanwhile, you're out fooling around, Kwa said. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's why you're on probation.
This one was different,
Gina thought. He had inquired into her past, knew shit he wasn't supposed to, and then threatened her with probation.
What exactly is probation? Does it mean no money or something? What part of the game is this?
Gina just couldn't figure him out. Most male creatures were simple as fuck. Kadir, however, was in a class all by himself. He didn't just want to play. He wanted to win. During the following months, she stayed on probation. Kwa played a lot of mind games. He even paid a friend to push up on her. The guy pulled along Gina in a candy red apple convertible Saab in the Starling Mall parking lot. He offered her dinner, then gave her some roses he had already had in the basket, which she gave right back. He talked real nice, giving her all kinds of compliments, but to no avail. Gina wouldn't give him the time of day. Kadir really gave her a hard way at first. Then he started to ease up. Things just happened like they were meant to. Gina stayed right up underneath Kwa. She was even with him when he would be taking care of business. She knew it was no place for her, and so did he. They did everything together. By the time Christmas came, she was staying at the apartment where he usually entertained his women. Gina felt so at home, particularly after she burned all the evidence that indicated he had a life before she came along. Gina cooked, cleaned, even did laundry all between trips to Bloomingdale's and Ann Taylor. She had a ball hurting the feelings of every female who called for him.
Bitch, please, I'm his woman. You're just a fuck. He doesn't care about you. Quadir, tell her you don't want to fuck with her.
She would always pass him the phone, demanding her position be exposed. He would do it too. Gina had put her thing down real hard. Her power and wiles were so strong that Kadir for once was keeping his interest. He liked coming home to her at night, and he loved her jealousy. She made such a fuss over every little thing that Kwa soon realized that he would have to be a man about his extracurricular activities and keep them hidden from Gina. Kadir, being Muslim, didn't celebrate Christmas, but he promised that every other year they could celebrate with gifts. One day before the holiday, he hid a box in the house and made her look for it. Finally, she found it in the kitchen closet, a big box with gold wrapping and a red bow.
Not my to-the-floor fur, Kwa.
She kissed him before she even opened it. How'd you know? He asked. Gina paid him no mind, too busy now ripping at the paper.
How'd I know?
She muttered, looking as if that was the stupidest question ever asked. Gina thought she would die. It was the coat she had been requesting for months. A mink to the floor, the most beautiful thing she had ever seen in her life. Everything was going so good. The past 6 months had brought them close, real close. The best part of the whole relationship was that they were on the same level with each other. Though they were both the biggest flirts in the world, it was clearly understood that there was no messing around. Kadir already knew it would be stupid of him to think that there wouldn't be guys trying to see Gina. She looked too good. The brothers would always try their luck. Gina handled it, though. She was never loose. She always maintained her composure and represented Kadir, which was a lot of representing. Qua had always been a flirt, except his flirting was different from hers. 3 days after Christmas, a baby girl was born at 4:30 p.m. She weighed 6 pounds and 15 ounces. She was a beautiful baby, with locks of black hair and beautiful brown skin. Sherelle, the baby's mother, was in the Germantown hospital alone. She couldn't believe that she had given birth all by herself. She had paged Kadir and told him that she was in labor. He didn't call back. Even though she wasn't absolutely sure it was his, she played the entire 9 months as if it were. She was so glad she finally knew who the father was once she saw her daughter. She hadn't been too sure, but when she came out, Sherelle took one look at her and knew she would be called Kwanda. Kwa knew his flirting would get him into trouble. That was even his New Year's resolution. No hoes in 1989. Gina's resolution was much simpler, to save money, something she had never been able to do. Gina spent money as if it were falling out of the sky like rain. She didn't save one dime. It was 1989. She would be turning 19 in March, and she didn't even have a bank account. Jewelry, clothes, shoes, even a fur, and no bank account. If Hua left her today or tomorrow, if he went to jail, or if anything happened to him, she would have nothing. 1989. Surprise. The months passed quickly. Ever since Sahira's funeral, Kadir and Gina stayed together, and everyone knew it. He let her drive the Range Rover while he drove the BMW. He bought her a house in Montgomery County. It had 4 bedrooms, a pool in the backyard, and a huge front lawn that required landscaping. There were a total of 8 chandeliers throughout the house. The vestibule, bathrooms, and kitchen were all complete with coordinating marble. The basement was Kadir's. No women allowed, just boys. It had a pool table, a bar, a 60-inch screen TV. He had a sound system throughout that could shake the entire neighborhood. The living room had eggshell carpet, off-white furniture, and contemporary marble. A large curio sat cornered against the wall where Gina had placed thousands of dollars worth of crystal. Where the furniture came from, Qua didn't care. He did care that she spent $32,000 on the room. The family room had butter-soft navy blue leather furniture and a custom-made light blue carpet with dark blue trim. In the middle of the far wall was a fireplace. Another big screen TV sat catty-corner in the family room next to a stereo system, twice the size of the one in the basement. There were sliding glass doors that led out to the backyard and the pool. The kitchen had been remodeled and had everything from a dishwasher to a food processor. The dining room floor was black marble with a black mirrored dining room table that seated 12 in its center. A matching breakfront sat against beveled mirrors adjacent to a gray stone wall. Their bedroom had rich, dark green carpet, a huge king-size bed connected to an elaborate wall unit which stretched across the entire wall and sat facing the door. The closets were filled with shoes and clothes. Gina and Kadir had so many clothes, neither rarely wore the same thing twice. There were 2 extra rooms. One Gina made into an office, complete with a maple desk, computer, and fireproof file cabinets. In front of the desk sat 2 bone-colored leather chairs. She had a bookshelf the size of the wall built for the room, and went out to the bookstores and purchased hundreds of books to occupy the shelves. The other bedroom was really like a storage area, even though it was actually a guest room. Though the family rarely visited, Gagit called every day. Kadir stayed gone, as if he was lost and just couldn't find the house. Gina didn't understand it. He would stay out all night, usually not returning home until the wee hours of the morning. Even though he was never there, he wasn't going anywhere either. She felt secure, and she felt happy. But Gina unknowingly had allowed herself to be isolated. Kadir had conveniently and successfully excused it as a safety precaution. None of her girlfriends was allowed in the house. That was first and foremost. Only a few family members had visited. Not only did Gina believe this was right, but also she protected her home and protected Kadir by all means. She never took anyone there. No one except family was to have their home number. She could only be paged. Traveling in certain parts of the city, even talking to certain individuals was a no-no. And, for the love of money, it was a small price to pay. It was nothing. She had no worries, but she was left alone. One rainy day, Kadir stayed in. It was a treat to have him home. The two cuddled on the sofa with a blanket and popcorn and watched daytime TV. That's when a commercial came on. The "Make Each Day Count" speech and "Why Waste Another Moment" grabbed her. She turned to Kadir and asked if she could go to college, really wanting to go. "What do you want to study?" he asked.
"You know, I hadn't thought about it. But I like the idea of business management. And it would give me something to do, Quadir."
"You're not here a lot, and there's nothing left in the malls. I have everything," she said, throwing her hands out in the air, really wondering what he expected her to do. Kadir was excited for her. He wished he had it in him to go to college with her. "Maybe I'll go too."
"For real, I can go? Are you going to come too, Quadir?"
she said, moving over him, hugging his neck, and giving him kisses in a circle motion over his face. "Well, I can't do it now, but when things lighten up, I'm going back. I always wanted to be a dentist," he said, trying to get her off his neck.
"I want you to be a dentist, Quadir. I think you'd be a great dentist. I really do."
She said it, meaning every word, and he knew she knew what she was talking about. "I love you, Gina."
"I love you back, Quadir."
With that, Gina started college 2 months later and was doing quite well. She occupied most of her days in classes and her nights studying. Hearing the BMW in the driveway, she peered out the bedroom window to see Kadir pull into the double-door garage. She flew down the stairs and met him as he walked in the door. "Hey, baby, you all right?" he said, as she walked away from him into the kitchen.
"I'm fine."
Her voice kind of cold. "What are you going to do today?"
"I want to go shopping and pay my credit card bill,"
she said, following behind him. Kadir knew that meant money.
"What are you doing?"
she asked. "Nothing. I got to be somewhere in an hour." He took off his clothes and left them in the middle of the floor for her to pick up.
"It's 10:30 in the morning. Where have you been?"
All she needed to complete the picture was a little steam coming out of her ears. "I've been in the street."
"What the fuck is the street? What kind of answer is that? You're always in the street. You never have time to spend with me. You're never here anymore because you're always in the street."
She stared him down, waiting for him to answer. "Gina, you know what I'm in the street doing. Hustling, making money. You know, that green colored paper you love to spend so much of? Look at it, Gina. $10,000 for a dining room. Where's the chairs, Gina?"
"You know they won't be delivered until next week."
"Yeah, for an additional $8,000, $10,000 and no chairs. And the bedroom, $15,000, Gina. Not to mention a living room no one can go into because it's white. That was $30,000 right there. Our living room is someone's house. Your fucking wardrobe and jewelry is 20 working motherfuckers' salaries per year. And you got a problem with me because I'm in the streets? Don't you think I want to come home? But what the fuck? When I do, I got to hear a bunch of bullshit. I can't even get my dick sucked because you're too busy using your mouth to ask me stupid questions like, where have I been all night? He stopped to catch his breath, and she just stood there looking at him.
He definitely needs some pussy.
She thought to herself. He acted as if she were the one with the problem and not him. Finally, he calmed down and gave in a little. I got a surprise for you. Meet me here at 6. He handed her a piece of paper with an address on it. From there, nothing more was said about the hours he was keeping. Gina went downstairs and Kadir went into the kitchen. As usual, Gina had made his breakfast and sat his plate in the microwave. When he was done eating, she followed him back upstairs to ask him for some money. She felt bad after hearing his speech about all the money she had spent. If he started hollering again, she was going to tell him to forget it and just walk away. As she walked into the room, he was on the phone, saying, "You what?" When he looked up and saw her, he just hung up the phone.
"Who was that?"
"Nobody," he said with a stupid-looking smile on his face.
"Kadir, please."
It was Ra. She knew he was lying. She could tell. His beeper went off, and he picked it up immediately and turned it to the vibrate mode, but he didn't call back the number. It vibrated again, but Gina couldn't hear it.
"I need some money."
"What's new?"
"Kadir, is there someone else?"
"No, Gina, why would you ask me a question like that? Do you got someone else?"
"Of course not. It's just you don't spend any time with me. I come into rooms, you hang up on people. What's that?"
"Gina, that is not true. We go to Atlantic City almost every week, and we go out to dinner at least 4 or 5 times a week. Hell, you'd starve a nigga to death, so we got to go."
"Sometimes I really think you don't love me."
"Come here." Gina's fingers busily removed his clothes. Kwa kissed her mouth and kissed nipples that reached for his lips in the promise of deep pleasure. He touched her with his wonderful, knowing fingers, becoming more excited with every moan that escaped her lips. She made him hold still while she worked her knees to the floor. She took him into her mouth and sucked up and down on the fleshy instrument God had provided him. Clenching his teeth to prevent him from exploding too soon, Kadir picked her up with great strength and pinned her up against a wall. She was so wet and so hot. He hadn't seen her this passionate in months, and he was taking every advantage he could of her. He knew she was an undercover freak and would do the mailman if he wasn't on his job. He turned her around so her back was to him and faced the wall, and in a standing position, put his thing down. As she felt herself climaxing, she told him to come with her, and he did. Releasing, as she basked in the heady state of shimmering pleasure, he whispered, "I love you." Following her into the bathroom, he stood above her as she was sitting on the toilet. She looked up, seeing his dick pointed straight at her ear.
"I've missed you too,"
she said, as he lifted her onto the bathroom counter. Wanting every inch of him inside her, she spread her legs open and let him in. He held her thighs so tight as he attempted to push his body and soul into her, all the while whispering in her ear, "It's all about you, Gina. All about you." Holding onto the counter's edge, she felt his body shudder, giving up the demon, releasing what seemed like all of his life force. How could she doubt him after a shot like that?
"He is in the street. He'll never cheat. He loves me,"
Gina thought. Finally able to move, Kwa helped her off the counter, re-entered the bedroom, and turned on the CD player. After they showered and dressed, Kadir went downstairs. She knew he was going to the safe. She didn't know the combination. He wouldn't tell her. In a few minutes, He returned and placed 3 stacks of money on the bed. You gonna meet me at 6, right?
Yeah. How much is there?
She couldn't take her eyes off the piles of bills in front of her. What bag would she use to carry all that cash? 7 or 8,000. Kadir was ready to go. I'm taking a Jeep. I'll see you later. She was holding out a piece of paper, which he pocketed, then kissed her goodbye. He got as far as the Jeep before curiosity got him.
Lying still. I'm lying still and I sense you there. Your fingers all over, touching everywhere. I feel your strength, I feel you inside. You're taking me somewhere insanity's hide. On top of me now, you feel big and strong. You're making me open and you're taking control. The deeper you're able, the deeper you'll go. 'Cause you have the power and I can't say no. Giving me all and everything that you've got. I feel you inside, so warm and so hot. I'm lying still now, I'm sweaty and wet. It's 4:30 a.m. and you're not home yet. Where are you? What are you doing? And who are you doing it with?
Quad turned the key in the ignition and went to work. Happy. Gina called Tracy to see if she wanted to go with her to the mall. She and Tracy had become good friends since Sahira's passing. The girls talked for a few minutes before Gina left to pick her up. They went to the Gallery Mall in Center City, something Gina did every day and never got bored with. The established department stores were connected under the ground. It was many shops in a spacious wonderland. It was like a shopping amusement park, and it felt real good to be able to buy whatever she wanted. She picked out a lounging robe for Gargette and paid for a belt Tracy was admiring. Kadir now had a dozen more pair of polo boxers. And Gina got a couple bottles of perfume for herself and her cousin Brianna. Her only choice was to buy a fragrance she didn't already have. After leaving the mall, Gina went to Gargette's house. She was so happy to see her grandmother and fell right into her arms. Of course, Gargette was always glad to see Gina.
How's my baby? Come on in here and sit down. Where's Kwa? How's he doing?
Gargette was asking questions so fast, Gina hardly had a chance to answer.
Kadir's fine. He's at his store.
How are you, Tracy?
Gargette said, finally acknowledging her.
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. My leg hasn't been bothering me, praise the Lord.
Gargette!
Gina hollered her name so loud she scared her grandmother half to death. Gina remembered the packages and headed for the door.
I got you something from the mall. It's in the car.
What's the matter with her? Child scared me half to death.
Pausing, she waited a few seconds and then she asked,
Gina know about the party?
No, she's worried Kadir has forgotten her birthday.
Tracy said. Gina came running back in.
Here you go, Gargette.
Gargette's face lit up at the contents in the bag.
Oh, Gina, baby, thank you. It's so nice. I can't wait to wear it tonight. You hungry?
No.
What about you, Tracy?
No, thanks.
They both turned their heads to the clatter on the porch and the opening screen door. Bria and Brianna, Gina's twin cousins, came bursting into the house. They were drop-dead gorgeous, wore their long hair in wraps just like Gina, and were identical, except for a mole on Bria's right earlobe. Plus, she had larger feet. Gina couldn't stand Bria, and Bria couldn't stand Gina.
Brianna, I got you something.
Taking the bag Gina handed her, Brianna exclaimed,
I've been wanting this for so long. Thanks, Gina. Do you think you can loan me $20?
What you trying to do?
Asked Gina.
Nothing. I just need $20. Come on, please.
Here,
said Gina, handing her a $20 bill. Bria was mumbling something under her breath. She could not stand it when Gina came around. Everybody acted like she was some goddess. With the presence of her archenemy now full-faced, Gina decided to leave. She dropped Tracy at home, then found Kadir engaged in a craps game on the corner of the Ave. After Kadir lost a couple thousand right quick, Gina followed him to his new store. It was a nice corner storefront property. Kadir sat and told her his plan of opening up a beauty salon. Gina worried for a minute, but soon realized that her man was all about her. "This is for us. This beauty salon is for you. I want you to decorate it and run things for me. Run the business, our business. So you down or what?"
"You know I am, baby. I love you, Quadir,"
she said, kissing her man. "Come on, let's go celebrate our new beauty salon. It's your birthday, right?"
"Where will we go?"
she asked, happy he hadn't forgot her. "I don't know. Let's go get dressed and go to dinner." Once they got home, Kadir just stood there looking at Gina. She was as beautiful as the night he met her on 125th Street in Harlem.
"Something the matter?"
"I don't know if I should give you your birthday gift now, or if I should wait until tomorrow."
"You know, I was beginning to think you had forgotten."
"Me forget? And have to hear that shit forever? Besides, I know how nice you perform when I remember holidays, birthdays, the day we met, the day we first did it. You know, all your reasons to get a gift."
"Why, please, you're exaggerating. Now, where is it?"
She looked a little possessed as he stood there picking the dirt from under his fingernails.
"Quadir, don't mess with me."
"Just pretend you're coming through the front door." She went into the vestibule that connected to the hallway, which spread throughout the rooms of the first floor. On the marble table, placed on the marbled floor near the doorway, sat a 5x10 professional picture of them, a candy dish, and a crystal vase with red and white roses in it. Kadir would buy her 2 dozen roses every week, which he placed in the same crystal vase week after week. Gracing the upper corner of the 5x10 picture was a 24-carat gold and diamond bracelet designed with carat diamond charms, giving it a total weight of 12 carats. Gina delicately removed the charm bracelet from the picture, adoring it like it was the Holy Grail.
"It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I love it. It's so blue,"
she said, trying to get the bracelet on. "Here, let me help you," he said, fastening the clasp for her.
"So blue,"
she said, marveling at the radiant colors that were bouncing off the chandelier. "I got you something else upstairs."
"Kiss me."
Letting him go was so hard to do. Pulling from her, he held her hand and walked her upstairs. It didn't take her any time to open the boxes and find a black Versace pantsuit, a pair of gator boots, and a black Chanel bag with thick gold C's on the side. Both of them dressed in black Versace and black gator boots, then arrived at the Malibu dining room. Kadir informed the hostess that their reservation was for Richards. She grabbed 2 menus and escorted them away from the dining room downstairs to the lower level. The entire lower floor was quiet. As the hostess opened 2 large double doors, everyone stood simultaneously and yelled,
"Surprise!"
They'd only been waiting about 45 minutes. For the first 5 minutes, Gina was inundated with people in her face wishing her, "Happy birthday! Happy birthday!" All of her girlfriends were there, as if they would really miss a free meal. All she could do was stand beside her man and take it all in.
"How much did this cost?"
she whispered in his ear. "I don't know. I haven't gotten the bill yet." She spotted Gaget, her cousins Bri and Brianna, and Gary, all ready to eat too. All of Kwa's friends were there, which meant all the players were in the house. Everybody was determined to make this a good one. As Gina's girlfriends began standing around her, Kadir drifted off to find Rick.
"Come look at the bracelet this bitch got on," said Andrea, dragging Bridget over to see it,
who, after a glimpse, was as astonished as Andrea. Looking across the room, Gina spotted Kadir and 40 surrounded by some girls, but didn't pay it any mind. Rick and his wife, Lita, walked over to where Gina and her girlfriends were standing.
"What's up, Rick?" said Veronica. The hair on Lita's back stood straight up.
"Lord,"
thought Gina.
"They gonna tear this motherfucker up tonight on my birthday."
"How you doing, Veronica?" he said. Lita spoke up. "Why are you talking to her? Do you know her?"
"Lord, here it comes,"
thought Gina. Rick tried damage control. "Lita, all the girls said was hi." "Whatever. Happy birthday, Gina." She leaned forward, kissed Gina on both her cheeks, and said, "I hope you like it." Then Lita walked away. Gina would have never walked away. Rick looked better than he had ever looked in his entire life. Or maybe it was the diamonds blinding everyone. Since Rick wasn't the most handsome man in the world. Yeah, it must have been the rays of light emanating from his body. They all stared, unbelieving, as Veronica turned her venom on him and whispered in his ear.
"What happened? I still want my abortion money, or your bitch is gonna find out where her man spends his spare time. See, that's why I got nothing for you. And even if you did tell Lita, she'd just kick your ass and still stay with me."
Rick stood his ground with Veronica, leaving everyone else standing still, trying to figure out what the hell she whispered in his ear. Unfazed, he turned to Gina. "Happy birthday, G." He kissed her cheek and handed her a small ribboned box.
"Thank you."
"No problem," he told her, rolling his eyes at Veronica before returning to Lita's side. Everyone near was eager to see what was in the box, reaching their hands out as she opened it. She glowed as she felt the envy.
"So nice. A diamond initial pin. G for Gina."
"That is nice," said Andrea.
"It sure is," added Bridget.
"Let me thank Lita and go show Gagget,"
Gina said, playing the perfect hostess.
"Excuse me."
Gagget was overwhelmed.
"Oh, Gina, look at you. Look at that."
Her eyes roamed all over her fine granddaughter, taking in the bracelet, the pin, and Gina's beauty.
"That Kadir is a good man. You take care of him, you hear me, girl?"
"Gagget, I'm taking care of that man. Until the day I die, I'm taking care of that man."
Hugging her grandmother, she asked,
"Where are the twins?"
Looking about for the twins, Gagget noticed a bit of commotion across the room.
"What's going on?"
"I don't know. I can't see."
Across the floor, Rick and Kadir were wrestling with the girl Kadir and 40 had been talking to earlier. Before Gina could get a glimpse of the whole picture, the girl had been ushered out of the dining area by the staff.
"What's happening?"
Gina touched her grandmother's shoulder and told her,
"I don't know, but I'll find out."
Approaching Kadir, she asked,
"What's going on?"
"Nothing."
"Why the hell does he always say nothing when it's perfectly clear something is going on?"
"Q, aren't you going to tell me what happened?"
Rick jumped in, asking her how she liked the pin.
"I love it, Rick. Look, Quadir, did you see the pin Rick and Lita got for me?"
"Let me see."
She showed him the pin and let him kiss her, waited a moment longer, then asked,
"So are you going to tell me who that girl was?"
"That bitch followed me here and was questioning Kadir about me. Quad told her I didn't want to fuck with her like that, and she got mad."
Kadir broke in,
glad that Rick had lied for him.
She's a stalker,
he added, laughing weakly. Rick, I don't know how you do it. Rick finished the lie. You're not going to tell Lita, are you? As the men lied to Gina, others were watching the girl through the window.
Look, that girl is staring at Kadia, said Tina.
Gina noticed.
Look, Bev, look out the window.
Beverly took a good look.
Damn, she looked like she's about to cry, don't she?
Once the girl realized she'd been recognized, she hurried away.
Bitches are so desperate, said Bev.
She straight played herself, said Tina.
I know. Did you see them haul her ass out of here?
Said Gina.
So embarrassing,
said Tina, shaking her head. Bev was savoring the gossip.
Wait till I get back to the hair salon. You know, she the one who is supposed to have the baby by Kadia. But don't say nothing.
We won't.
Tina and Gina gave each other a knowing glance. Gina was across the room, greeting everyone. She finally saw her cousins, Bria and Brianna. Kadir was busy introducing his friends to Gina's friends, trying to hook everybody up. Gina couldn't believe the number of people surrounding her.
Tonight's the night, whispered Rick. Rich Green? Asked Qua.
Yes.
Kadir was thoughtful. You know Jarrell isn't going to like this.
I know. Let him bring the noise. He started this shit. He's been fucking up my pockets for the longest. Enough is enough. He's pushing every motherfucker I know not to buy coke from me. You know how many bricks I can't get rid of because of him?
You, what about me?
Quinny Day showed up at their table.
Yo, this was really nice, man. I can't stay for dessert, but I just wanted to let you know this was real smooth, Ock.
Where you got to go, Quinny? Asked Rick, feeling a heavy weight of frustration just seeing Quinny's happy face.
Nowhere. I just got to meet this girl. She's going back to Connecticut, and, you know, I'm just saying goodbye to her tonight. If you catch my drift.
I hear you, player, said Kadir.
Rick spoke up. When you gonna have my money, Quint? He'd given Quinny two keys 3 weeks ago and was starting to wonder when he was going to get paid.
Nigga, I got you. Don't sweat that shit, baby. Be cool. I got you.
Tariq just shook his head, watching Quinny mingle himself away in the crowd. Wasn't nothing he could do with the boy. Quinny Day never had his money. If he weren't Lita's cousin, he'd have had him knocked off.
Why do I continue to even ask that motherfucker for my money? Do you know what he owes me? Them motherfuckers Lita's related to our trip.
Rick, I want to get out of this shit.
Kadir said.
Out of what?
Rick had no idea what his mentor could be talking about.
The game. This shit is too much for me. I want to sit at home instead of hustling out here on these streets.
I know that's right. These motherfuckers is passing out time like it's government cheese. Qua turned to face him.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Sherelle calls the house and she follows me around. The bitch is a fatal attraction.
You played it real cool, though. You didn't even blink when you seen her walking over to you.
Shit, I wanted to run my ass the fuck up out of this motherfucker, but Gina's nosy-ass girlfriends would have had something to say.
Those bitch-ass girlfriends she got, how do you take it? I done fucked almost all of them.
Qua's eyebrows went up at the revelation, and Rick warmed to his subject.
The only one I was really fucking with, though, was that Veronica bitch, and she tried to baby-trap me, man.
Yeah, right, I heard.
I admit, I was sweating the girl back in the day, but sis wouldn't give me no play. Then I got a little paper. You know, became the man. And who do you suppose was on my dick?
Veronica.
I've been playing that bitch ever since. The brothers clinked their glasses and drank. On the table sat two bottles of Dom and one bottle of Remy XO. Gina took advantage of a lull in her own conversations to look around. The Malibu dining room was fabulous. The only thing missing was Sahira, her pretty face, her small frame, and her warm smile. If only she was there with her. She's the one that pulled over Rasun that day in Harlem. If it hadn't been for her, Gina wouldn't be standing there, portraying the perfect queen of the crack stars.
Sahira,
she mouthed.
I miss you so much,
she thought. Not a day would pass without Sahira being in her thoughts. She held her glass up, and there was Sahira with her.
A toast for old times,
thought Gina. She toasted to the memory of her best friend.
Hey, Gina, happy birthday, Black said, trying to figure what she was staring at.
Hi, where's Pam?
Home with the kids. Where's Q?
See him? He's over there at that table in the corner,
she said, pointing as Black brought Rick and Kadir into view. As soon as he had left, she heard someone singing.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's your birthday.
Charlie Tuna, you so crazy.
Yo, Gina. You think you can hook me up?
Hook me up how?
I'm trying to see your girlfriend.
Who?
He suddenly noticed her wrist.
God damn! That motherfucker is all that.
Isn't it?
You playing with this piece right here. This is some real high-powered shit. Damn, let me step the fuck back.
She stood there laughing and smiling as Charlie gassed her head up. Finally getting back to the point of why he stepped to Gina, he asked,
Are you gonna hook me up or not?
Hook you up with who?
Baby, it don't matter. Give me a quiet one. Y'all women got too much mouth these days, always yapping. Give me one that don't talk.
What? We're not supposed to talk?
Yeah, when someone says something to you.
Charlie spotted a girl who attracted him.
Hook me up with her.
Gina smiled. Charlie had chosen Bev from La Chevue, and she never shut up.
Beverly.
Gina took her girlfriend's hand and made a complete introduction. She left them there to talk as she walked over to Kadir. Coming up behind him, Gina put her arms around him, bent down, and started licking his ear.
I'm ready to go home,
she whispered. They began to say goodbye to everybody who'd come out to get a free lobster and champagne meal. Qua told her, I'll be back. I'm going to take care of the bill so we can go home. Gina turned to see Andrea watching her slink into her to-the-floor mink.
You leaving?
Yeah, we're ready to go home.
I know you've had a happy birthday, and the shit ain't until tomorrow.
Yes, this is true.
She jingled her bracelet for Andrea.
Qua really surprised me. First the outfit, then the bracelet. And to top it off, dinner with all my friends. This was enough.
You're so lucky.
I'm blessed.
Rick was just hanging up the payphone outside the dining room.
Yo, check it out.
He pulled Kadir over to him.
Rich Green is no longer a member of the life force as it exists on this earth.
Dead?
Through the heart and through the head. Nigga says since he fucked his baby mom, he shot him in the dick, too.
Damn.
Kadir, don't look so sad, because the nigga was plotting. Always riding around the same corners, all damn day and night. Trust me, the boy Rich had a list. Junie was locked up with my brother and told him everybody was on the list. Shit, the nigga's list was so long, by the time the junior mafia finished, it wouldn't be nobody left.
Kadir said goodbye to Rick and shook hands with a few other brothers before finding Gina. Getting into the car, Gina looked at her man.
I can't believe you did all this for me.
Gina, tonight was nothing compared with what I have in store for us.
This is just the beginning.
The cheddar will be better.
Kwa sat in the living room of his secret hideout and placed the counting machine on the table. Pulling a chair, he organized all the money in the safe. He plugged the counting machine into a socket, sat back, and watched it do its job. 2 hours later, the total was looking him in the face.
Got to be a mistake, he thought.
But there was no mistake. He was speechless. The machine totaled his money at $17.2 million.
I'm a millionaire,
he said to the fish in the tank. He had an idea, but he never counted the money that was in the safe. He wanted to jump, shout, knock himself out. Then he sat down and began counting it again. The total was the same. He ran his hands through the bills, stuffing them into his pockets, his shirt, his baseball cap, in his jeans, all $100 bills. In front of the mirror, seeing all these green pieces of paper falling out of his clothing, he thought to himself, all that money, drug money, there's a lot of paper in the ghetto. Kadir sat back and looked at all the stacks of money surrounding him. The years of hustling had paid off. People spend their entire lives working to retire and still don't have shit. Kadir, on the other hand, had hustled for 5 years and could retire at the age of 25, a millionaire, never working an honest day in his life. He sat down on the sofa in the sea of money scattered around him. It made him nervous. For the first time, he saw his wealth, and for the first time, he saw what he really was, a drug dealer. He knew it was wrong. All that he did for a hustle was a constant reminder of his own greed. Down to his last 200 kilos of cocaine, he didn't want to purchase any more. For $3,800 a kilo, who wouldn't? But with 17 million staring down your throat, why? He was not thinking of finances. He was thinking about the junior mafia. He knew it was a matter of time before he was a direct target. Things were getting real complicated in the streets. The police were downright dirty. They would stick you up, set you up, and give you a case. The brothers was just as bad. Everybody had guns. Everybody. Even little kids had guns. Your life meant nothing. It was all about money. Who had it and who didn't. Not only had Kadir beat the odds, but he also lived to tell about it. Not owing any debts and not owing any favors. This in itself was a task, as most of Kadir's friends were dead or in jail. He thought of Tony Santero and the cartel. He thought of Barranquilla, Colombia, and Carlos Escobar. He met Tony's uncle, Carlos Escobar, only once. Carlos was so captivating, even with his intense dislike for the United States. Kadir totally enjoyed his conversation. The man had everything he wanted and desired at his fingertips. Tony's mother was an Escobar. She married a Santero and had 3 sons. 2 of the sons and her husband were killed in a boating accident on the Panama Canal in 1968, when Tony was a little boy. She and her only son then moved with her brother Carlos. Carlos raised Tony like his own son. He turned over some of the family affairs to Tony, who took on the responsibility of serving the United States. Through governmental and diplomatic contacts, Tony was free to serve countries. Carlos had 2 brothers and 3 sons, all of whom controlled and shared the Colombian drug profits. After Kadir understood the trade game, he understood who had the power. It definitely was not the brothers. The brothers got caught up too, but not just them. It seemed like everyone was getting high. The upper class, not just the poor, contributed and depended on it. He thought of the sisters who were out there using and selling their bodies for a gusto, the brothers and sisters who were robbing their own mothers and grandmothers. He thought of his financial destiny, matches torn in two. He thought of the $17 million. Shit was too good to be true. How could he stop? How could he tell Tony? What would he say? What would he do? For 3 weeks,
Kadir continued business as usual. Dropping his price down to $10,000 a kilo, everybody and their mother was trying to see Rahsaan and Reds, who had basically taken over the Av. Kadir couldn't figure it out. Seemed like out of nowhere, not only were they selling his shit, but also buying shit from him and doing their own thing. Rick and Forty were tearing up the drug came down Richard Allen. After the death of Rock, Rick and Kadir paid out $200,000 to have 5 members of the Junior Mafia assassinated. Within the past 3 weeks in the city, there have been 12 drug-related murders, all of which directly involved the Junior Mafia. Kadir was tired of the small circuit. He was tired of the drug game. He wanted to not have to walk or drive so fast. He didn't want to look over his shoulder or peek around corners. He was ready to take his money and sit back. Joy life. Finally, Qua paged Tony and sat back and waited. An hour later, Tony Santero was telling him that he would be there in 3 more weeks. That's what I was calling to speak to you about. Is there something wrong, Kadir? It's like this. I'm not going to re-up. What? What the hell do you mean, retire? What I said, Tony. I'm done, man. I'm finished. I can't take it anymore. This shit is really starting to get to me. It's like every day and every night, I got people chasing me down. Give me this and give me that. And then there's the Junior Mafia. They've been knocking off my family.
Well, kill them back,
Tony said, not understanding. Everyone is going for self. Things are changing. They are losing honor. Everybody's snitching now. And then there's Gina. I'm not spending any time with her. I want to retire alive.
Yeah, I know. That's one nice-looking girl you got there. She's real nice, man. You know, I would love to fuck her.
Yeah, but you can't. So why feel it?
See, that's the problem with you black guys. You don't like to share, do you?
I'll share some pussy with you, Tony. Just not that pussy.
Well, are you sure that's what you want to do?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Well, how can I say this? You can't do nothing, man. You can't lie to me. But if you really stopping and you want out, then fine, okay. Give me $5 million and you are free to go.
$5 million rolled out of his tongue behind the Colombian accent as his voice grew stern.
And remember, you're retired. I find out that you're lying to me. You know you'd be betraying me and my family. You know I'll know what you're doing.
Tony, all my life, you took care of me and you helped me. I would never cross you. Why not two?
No, for you? $4 million, Kadir, and no less.
3, 4. 3 1/4.
3 1/2, and that's it.
Okay, 3 1/2 it is.
Take it to the princess dock at the harbor. Give it to my cousin Sancho. Take his number.
Breathing easier, Qua thanked him.
Keep in touch, Q. And remember what I said. You're retired.
Kadir separated $3.5 million and put the rest back in the bags and locked it in the safe. Gina was glad to be out of chemistry class and drove straight home. She marveled at the sight of Qua's keys on the vestibule table.
Kadir, are you here?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Down here.
What's up?
Come here, baby. We got to talk. She joined him in the playroom, wondering what was up, and walked into his arms. I've been thinking lately, Gina. You know, I haven't been home a lot lately. I've been so busy taking care of business that I haven't been taking care of you.
True enough,
thought Gina, taking a seat.
So he's finally fessing up about the bitch Sherelle.
I talked with Tony today. I told him I was done, finished, out of the game. The coke I got, I'm going to get rid of. And then that's it. Gina couldn't speak, her mind racing to compute the implications of his retirement from the game.
Did I push him too far? Did I demand too much? Will they let him retire? Where will all that shopping money come from if he stops?
She kept her cool and listened to him. He slipped a small baby blue box out of his pocket. He opened it and showed her the contents. Will you marry me, Gina? He took the ring out of the holder and slipped it on her finger.
I've never seen a diamond this big before.
It's 10 carats. Gina was in shock. She couldn't believe he was coming at her with marriage. Gina, you haven't answered my question. Do you want me to get on one knee?
Well, please.
She smirked.
You would get on one knee?
He bent his knee to the floor before her and said, Janelle Louise Scott, will you marry me?
Claudia, please get up. You're going to make me cry.
Not until you answer me. Not until you say you'll marry me. You're all that matters to me, and I want you to be my wife. His face told her this was not fun and games. He was serious.
Yes, Quadir Montel Richards, I will marry you.
She got down on her knees with him and put her arms around him. The ringing phone broke the reverie. He smiled, watching her run upstairs as he picked up the phone. Hello?
I need some money for your daughter, Quadir, said a female voice.
Look, don't ever call my home again, he said as he slammed the phone down. It immediately rang again. Hello?
Don't fucking tell me not to call that motherfucker. You got a child that you don't do shit for, said the girl.
Look, Sherelle, if you need something for the baby, I will send it to you. I will call Rahsaan and he can bring you whatever you need.
No, bitch, you bring it. Rahsaan didn't fuck for this baby. You did.
Who do you think you playing with?
Who am I talking to? Ain't nobody else on the goddamn phone.
I told you if you need something, then page me. I'll see to it that you get it.
He hung up as the phone rang. Bitch, stop calling my motherfucking house.
Yo, Kwa, man, it's me, Rick.
Oh, what up?
Damn, my brother having problems today?
Yeah, Sherelle. She is fucking with me again. She got the phone number somehow.
How did she get the number?
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Now you just calm down, partner. You'll be all right.
What am I gonna do, Rick?
Get a motherfucking blood test. You the only one who thinks the baby is yours.
Kwa hadn't heard Gina return.
Kwa, dear, I'm gonna take a shower. You wanna come?
No, baby. I'm on the phone.
Who's that? Gina?
Rick asked. Who else is going to be up in my house? Asked Kwan. Rick started laughing at him.
All them hoes running around talking about, it's Kwa's baby. Shit, you might got Virgin Mary up in that motherfucker. How the fuck am I supposed to know?
Gina was still trying to entice Kwa.
Okay, if you don't want to shower with me, you're